almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Today we walk into this house with an iconic South African plant, the aloe ferox. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
It is a matter that is under consideration. And all I would say is that watch this space.
Welcome to this week's episode of the SA Money Report. This financial podcast is brought to you by Fin24 and hosted by Deputy Editor Ahmed Arif.
Hello and welcome to another episode of SA Money Report. I'm your host, Deputy Fin24 Editor Ahmed Arif. Our weekly show helps to demystify and inform you about the newest, most interesting, or most crucial financial and business news in SA. So, unless you've been living in North Korea, you are likely to have heard about the wildly successful Netflix show from the south of the border, Squid Game. And without spoiling too much of it, one of the key themes of the South Korean show is an examination of the lengths people go to when unbearable debt hangs over their heads, like the metaphorical sword of Damocles. Desperate people do desperate things. Anything that can ease their burdens. They're the right type of people to lure into signing up to something, and instead of getting money, end up losing more of it. This week, we explore a world of dark, twisted form of marketing and web design that a class action lawsuit claims has ensnared a host of South Africans. Some desperate people, some just average, everyday people that need a few extra bucks. Helping us to unpack the case is our show's regular Fin24 investigative reporter, Jan Cronje. Jan, so let's start simply. Using me as an example, I'm in a huge amount of debt and I need to get some money to quickly sort out my bond and my car payments. So I sign up to a website where I think I'm getting a loan, but instead I find out that money is actually being debited from my account. What's happening to me?
Hi, Ahmed. So what you sketched out above is what happened to thousands, possibly tens of thousands of South Africans between about 2015 and 2019, at least according to a class action lawsuit being brought by the University of Stellenbosch's law clinic. Now, Ahmed, the clinic says that during these 4 odd years, about a dozen websites tricked users into thinking that you could, you know, use them to find a loan online. But in the small print, in the T's and C's of the websites, users were actually being offered 12 months of legal advice, which absolutely no one wanted, according to the law clinic. And when they ticked a box, which they thought would help them find a loan, you know, like to send their loan application through, in fact, what they were saying is, you are allowed to debit my bank account for 12 months of legal advice. Now, the law clinic is saying this is clearly illegal. People were being tricked into buying something they didn't want. And Ahmed, these sites had names such as Loan Hub SA. Another one was called Loan Locator SA, Loan Spotter SA. But they weren't offering loans at all, and they weren't registered as financial services providers. Worse, the clinic says that this alleged scam was targeting the most vulnerable in society. As you mentioned in your intro, you know, people that are searching for loans need money. And the folks behind these sites, I'm sure we'll speak a little bit more about that, essentially deny that they tricked anyone, saying the terms of the sites were clear.
So, Jan, what would happen to me, and did actually happen to the numerous people who actually tried to get out of this?
Right, Ahmed, so according to the law clinic, once users started noticing that money was being deducted from their accounts, and if I remember correctly, it was about 300 Rand, between 399 and 400 Rand for the first month, and then 99 Rand a month thereafter for 12 months, they had no idea what was happening. Some thought criminals were targeting them. Others thought it was a glitch. Others thought, you know, just a mistake. The bank would be able to sort it out. So what many people did is they told the banks to reverse the charges, which you can now legally do in South Africa. And this is when what the clinic refers to as a campaign of harassment started. So for a little bit more context, it turned out that the same group that owned or ran these websites also owned a debt collection service. And when people didn't pay up, their debt would be sent over to this debt collection service, which would try to get it out of them. So, I mean, if a pensioner from Kraaifontein, say, didn't pay up, this debt collection service would start sending them emails, some threatening them with legal action. People in affidavits claimed they were swamped with phone calls. Now, I've seen some of these emails, and some, at least, included things such as a draft court summons. I mean, that will certainly be shocking to anyone, even quite tech-savvy people. You know, when you see a summons saying you can be blacklisted, some may have thought that they would go to jail if they didn't pay up. So in court affidavits, and they're many, about 20, many people said they just gave up fighting and paid to make this whole thing go away, even if they didn't need the legal advice, which I'm not sure how many people used it. From the court documents, it seems to be very few ever made use of this advice because no one wanted it in the first place.
So you mentioned the Stellenbosch University Law Clinic. So they spearheading this class action lawsuit. What's the process there? How come they involved, and why is this like the first of its kind of class action suit?
Right. Yes, indeed. The Stellenbosch University's Law Clinic is behind it as part of its work. It does public interest cases, and this is, in its view, a big and important one. When I spoke to them, I mean, the clinic said that they were alerted to this in about 2019 after receiving email complaints from people. You can write in to them if you want them to take your case, in theory. And in July this year, its class action application was certified. So what this means is that the clinic can now act as the legal representative of everyone who interacted, who lost money and was allegedly harassed by the defendants. And I mean, when we think of class action cases, I think it's fair to say we generally think of the US, as they're not very common in South Africa. So this case is still one of the first under our class action laws, which are quite seldomly used. And the law clinic said it's also the first consumer class action case to be certified by a court in South Africa. So it's certainly breaking new ground.
So Damian Molander, that's the name that kind of comes out in all of this. Who is he? And how is he defending all of this? Because he's seemingly in the middle of all of it.
Correct. He's been named a respondent by the law clinic, and he is opposing the case. According to company records, Molander registered the 12 companies that created these 12 websites. For some reason, each website fell under a unique, distinct company. I'm not quite sure why. He's also a director of the debt recovery company we spoke about earlier. The law clinic refers to him as the brains behind the whole operation. I must say, he did at some stage step down as a director of the 12 websites, and someone else took over. In the law clinic's case, that person was merely acting on his behalf, according to his direction. So he was still the behind the scenes running everything. I don't know much about him personally, apart from the fact that he's 39 and from Cape Town. His legal representative has said he won't be answering questions from the media at the moment. But, Ahmed, we do learn a little bit about his defense from his affidavits. And he's saying that the sites were legal and they were never meant to trick anyone. I've jotted down a quote here. He says, quote, The product purchased is explained clearly on all the websites. The terms of service were clear, end quote. That's what he said. He also said that all users had to tick a box stating that they had read the terms of service. And in so doing, you know, it's not his fault if the users hadn't actually read the full terms of service. He had done everything that he legally needed to do to cover himself. Now, what the law clinic is saying is that, yes, users may have ticked a box, which we do all the time on the internet these days, but that doesn't mean that you can start debiting money from their account. If I understand the law clinic's argument, Ahmed, is that something like you can take money from my account can't be buried in the terms of service of a website. It has to be right up front and made absolutely clear. And that's what the law clinic is saying that Malander and the websites didn't do.
This class action is an opt-out case. Can you explain to the listeners what that means, and how would you want to get it, how do you get in touch with the Stellenbosch law clinic if you wanted to?
Right. So an opt-out class action case is where everyone is automatically covered by the case unless you opt out. So in this instance, everyone that interacted with the 12 websites will be part of the case, even if you don't know that the case is going on. You are automatically part of it, unless you specifically say you don't want to be. The opposite type of case, Ahmed, is an opt-in case where you have to actually say, I want to be part of it. And the law clinic says there's no downside to being part of an opt-out case, right? If things don't go according to the law clinic's plan, and let's say it has a cost order against it, which sometimes happens in courts, the law clinic itself will have to settle that. That debt's not going to fall on all the people that are part of the case. So you're not going to lose anything. There's only upside. I guess that's how the law clinic will put it. The clinic itself is the class representative that will carry the danger. But if, on the other hand, a court says that all the members of the class can be restituted money, you could get something out. So there's really nothing for a member of the public to do. You don't have to write an email to the university to say, I want to be part of this, I interacted with the site, unless you want to opt out. And then I suggest, I mean, users just search Stellenbosch University Law Clinic. Its page will come up. It's got an email there, and then you can write that you don't want to be part of the case. You can also check the latest case docs there and things like that, a bit of history of the case if it's interesting for you.
And so what's next now? What happens with the case? Now, how do we go forward from here?
Right. So the most recent ruling was the one that said that the law clinic can act as the class representative of people that lost money. Malander has launched an application for leave to appeal this ruling. This will be heard later this month, Ahmed, on the October 22. Now, if Malander wins, that will then proceed to a full appeal. He's at the moment just asking for leave to be allowed to appeal. If not, and the court refuses his leave to appeal, this will open the way for the actual class action hearing to be heard. So we don't know when that's going to happen yet. That depends on what the court finds on October 22. But perhaps next year, if all goes according to plan from the law clinic, obviously Malander, from his perspective, he wants the court to rule that he can appeal. He wants to win that appeal and the whole thing to go away.
Thanks for your time again, Jan.
Thanks, Ahmed.
This brings our show to an end. The music in this episode is courtesy of Getty Images and Epidemic Sound. This week's installment was produced with the help of Kayleen Morgan. Be safe. Always read terms and conditions before signing and clicking. Thank you for listening.